Hi.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Linda, and this is Soul in the City. This is Monday's life class, and I am waiting on my guest caller to call in, but he will do that in a minute, and he will be exceptional when he calls in. Right now, we're just talking about metaphysics, being Christian, being metaphysical, or studying the study of metaphysics. Can that possibly be? If so, how do you correlate it? How do you do that? We're going to start with a little music by Donnie McClurkin, and we'll be right back. You think about that, metaphysics and Christianity. Can we do that? And this is Linda and Soul in the City. We're so glad to have you. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show today. As I said, we'll be starting a little music prior to getting started. Let's listen to Donnie McClurkin and Speak to My Heart, Lord. Hello.
Yes.
Okay, we can't really, they might be on, so I'm going to talk quietly, but I have some music playing.
Okay.
Our hearts. And tonight we're going to be talking to Shantram Hawkins about being metaphysical and Christian. And is that possible? And I know that we're going to have a very enlightening conversation today because we're going to just bring it all to the forefront. And I like to start by just welcoming my exciting guest, Mr. Hawkins. How are you, Shantram?
I am well. I'm excited to be on your show, Linda.
I am so excited to have you on the show. Really, I am just excited when I have other students on this show and we share about what we're into and what we're doing and how that relates to us in our everyday lives. So I am equally, if not more, excited to have you on the show. I usually start, this is Monday's Life Class, everybody, and It is some UOS and UOM students listening, but I know that there are other people listening. So really, this is a good time for us to educate you about what metaphysics is. Sometimes people think about, what is that? Is that kind of woo-woo? No, it's not off course. It's really who we are and what we do basically in our everyday lives. But I'm going to let Shantrim first tell us a little bit about you, Shantrim, before we even get into that whole subject.
Well, I am a life coach. I'm also a counselor. I'm a public school educator, and I'm also a musician. And I love the things that that about God, period, as far as in the natural as well as the supernatural. Always, as a young child, I've always had questions that exceeded normal Sunday school and vacation Bible school classes that turned me to the study of deeper knowledge, which is metaphysics.
Oh, and you're already starting to teach us. I like it. And it's going to be, as we say, it is going to be a great show. So get your notepads out because we're going to learn a little bit. Well, let's just get on into it, Shantra. Let's explain a little bit about metaphysics, because I have some friends who will be listening who are my church buddies that are a little nervous about me even studying this. So let's talk about what metaphysics is.
Let's first of all deal with the some kind of way people have put into the mindset that the word metaphysics seems creepy or eerie, and it's because of they just haven't come into the knowledge or the understanding. And one thing that the Buddha teacher always stated that's very popular, saying when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And the first thing we have to deal with is what is the metaphysical realm, or it's basically concerned with the abstract thought or subjects as existence, causality, or truth. The B part of it is concerned with the first principles and ultimate goals as being time or substance. The C portion would be highly abstract or abstruse. The good thing is the simplified version of the metaphysical means to simply go above and beyond. Anything metaphysical is beyond the physical plane.
And really, if you believe in Christ, someone that lived, 2,000 years ago that you can't see, feel, or touch, you have metaphysical beliefs.
That you totally, there is no difference between, first of all, if the truth be told, Christ is a master metaphysician.
We call him
a physician, but he did not need to diagnose you. He went straight to it and called things out. He's beyond physics. He was beyond what we are taught in school. We're hundreds of thousands of years before we're away from what Christ was able to do. Theoretically speaking, as a Christian, it's someone who has received the Lord Jesus Christ, trust him alone for forgiveness of sins, and has put their trust and efforts to please him and repented of his or her sins. Christianity is also a faith-based religion, which is something, anytime you're dealing with faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, number one, we're already dealing with beyond the natural. When we're dealing with things that's not seen, we are already peeping into metaphysics, the law of attraction, the law of cause and effect.
Call those things that be not as though they were. It's a lot of faith.
Total. I mean, I can give you several scriptures. So even just the law of attraction, as a man thinketh, so is he. That's Proverbs 3:27. You have not because you ask not. That's James 4:7. Give and it shall be given unto you. That's the book of Malachi. These signs shall follow them that believe. First of all, if you don't believe, you cannot see, you can't achieve. Thoughts are things. Things take action and then they take form.
Yes, so true.
That also
so true.
Takes us to another law, cause and effect.
Right. And basically,
it's heavy.
It is heavy, but it is, as you mature, in Christ, you get into deeper things, and the deep calls for deep. So basically, it's getting into the deeper things of the why, the how, why am I here? What am I here for? And as you where am I going? Mm-hmm. And all of those are answered. When God said, I knew you before I formed you in the womb.
That's
you know,
Jeremiah 1 and 5.
You had a destiny. There you had a destiny and a purpose before you even came. It's up to you to find it.
That's correct.
So basically saying that, I guess we answered our second question. Do you think that it's possible to be metaphysical? I mean, to study metaphysical principles and be a Christian.
You cannot be Christian and not be metaphysical.
There you go.
You cannot be Christian and not be metaphysical. It is impossible. And, in fact, you're denouncing your faith.
I want to tell you. What they say, don't get, and the church said.
Amen.
Because basically it's so true because, like, when you were a babe in Christ, you fed on the milk, and that's scripture too. But as you matured, you have to go to the meat, and metaphysics is the meat of the thing. Babe.
This is the meat, the root. That's when you're really understanding. Like some kind of way we want to make God a spook or a mystery. He's not a spook or a mystery. He's not a spook or a mystery.
He is
not. As a matter of fact, in the book of Jeremiah, 33, verse 3, the scripture states, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." If you're not ready to understand him, if you're not ready to spend time with him, you're not going to get what you need.
And it's really a matter of going beyond what you're hearing in the pulpit. They give us something, but you have to take it to another level in the study yourself.
That's correct.
And I think sometimes that's the difficult part for people, because then we get spoon-fed. Yeah. Well, in our community, and, you know, I am who I am, and I say it loudly and fairly, but in the black community, what do you get from people as a response when you say, "I'm studying metaphysics"? I get varied responses. What kind of responses do you get?
The ego and prideful section of me will want to say I get ignorance. But the truth of the matter is the persons just have not stepped into the knowledge, and they're not ready spiritually or metaphysically to come into the knowledge. Most people often refer metaphysics to the New Age, which is limited beliefs. They think psychics. They think only other divinations,
right.
Which is very, very, you know, so much limited beyond metaphysics, because all things are, you know, God has control of everything. However, those are limited beliefs.
Yeah, and basically, what we're saying is to study beyond the physical. That
beyond
the physical. So right there, just the definition. And metaphysics is not a religion. It's a philosophy.
It's a philosophy.
So, you know, that takes you beyond those people who become a little fearful. And that's really why I wanted to do that this program. Sometimes in our community, if you don't go along with the status quo, if you study something beyond that, then you're going into divination and all of that. And it's really
not
about
that.
Not
only that, when you question things like this as far as spirit and what makes spirit, where does spirit come from, you know, when I was a child, I was told, you don't question God, you go to hell. You don't ask those type of questions. That's against God, and that's blasphemy.
Well, you know, sometimes even in the community, it's if you question your pastor, which, you know, I'm not going to go there, but, you know, it's about getting the questions that you have in your spirit answered.
Mm-hmm.
And God is okay with that. If you go through the Psalms, David was basically crying out to God and asking him questions.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
So really,
yes,
if we study, we would see the history of Job. You know, that is
That's
nothing
correct.
But a whole book of questioning.
That's correct. Totally.
So, yeah. Well, what do you feel are the positives of studying metaphysics? And if any, what are the challenges?
The positives, wow. Positives would be that I have learned to ask the questions to God and seek wisdom as well as judgment, you know, as far as the universal laws, which are indisputable. Whether you believe in God or not, all these laws are metaphysical, will work. For example, the law of attraction. A lot of people ask me about depression or why am I by myself, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of people don't realize what they're thinking, what they're dealing with is a physical or earthly incident or occurrence. However, it is a spiritual issue. It is beyond you. It's how you perceive yourself. Remember, thoughts are things. Things take action. Then they form. So if you see yourself as negative or limited, as depressed, not being able to get ahead, low self-esteem, low self-worth, faulty beliefs, that's how you will perceive yourself, and it's very, very difficult to get ahead. So the law of attraction will be one of the most important things that I found as positive, is learning how to put my thoughts and realize that I am a part of the oneness. One of the biggest mistakes that people don't pay attention to, we make ourselves separate from others and we make ourselves separate from God. Because Jesus, one of his teachings that we don't pay attention to, he says the Father and I are one.
He does.
We are one. We have a power. We have a creator that is beyond us, that is able to teach us, mold us, but we have to be willing and open vessels to receive. We go from glory to glory.
Right. Oh, so good. So good. So what would you feel like would be the challenges for you in studying metaphysics?
The challenges for me is because I'm human.
Mm-hmm.
I'm earthly. You know, I have negative thoughts or beliefs. It was a time in my life where I didn't feel good enough or I had low self-worth, you know. The other one would be the law of action, was because of my low self-esteem or low self-worth or feeling like I'm not, like Jeremiah felt, like I'm too young or I'm not good enough to do these things that God is sending me forth to do, that my purpose within the universe is to do, my incarnated process. I felt, you know, that, which is the law of action, that I did not, if you can't feel good enough, then you can't take action to do what it is that's your purpose.
Right. And metaphysics helps not only, but just the study, bringing the metaphysics, coming into the oneness, knowing who you are connected to God.
That's correct.
You pull out that power from the Spirit, bringing
That's
in the Holy
correct.
Spirit, you know, because I know a lot of times in metaphysics we say the one, the power, but that power inside of us, the God part of us, is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's learning to tap in the power within.
That's correct. One of the other things that I have to remind myself, that our minds can function in multi dimensions at one time.
Yeah,
we're not limited to this earth plane. If you can think it, you can have it,
mm-hmm.
and that's where I'm learning to be right now. Everything that I want, everything that God has for me. But the good thing is, I want to be able to share what God gives to me with others. I don't want to be selfish because I'm a part of the all.
And you are, powerfully so. So with all of that and what you're doing, I always ask all the people that come in, what are you doing with this knowledge that you're obtaining, and what are your future plans?
Currently, right now, I'm working as a mental health counselor. I deal with the mentally ill, substance abuse, and metaphysically, I work in my church. I'm also a musician and minister of music at my local church. And what my goal is for future reps, I plan on to teach classes, to write books and articles, and bring people into this knowledge to understand that God is beyond a mystery. God is beyond what we learn in church, how to actually incorporate our biblical principles and use them into the sense to where they're all reality, not just something we read and we just put it in our heart and hide it in our heart and we don't take any laws of action. We don't limit ourselves.
And I think that, and I do feel like this is a positive for the churches. I've been in church on and off pretty much a lot, a huge part of my life, is that the word and the knowledge that we're getting now, as compared to when I was a little girl, it is showing us how to apply practically the knowledge that we can obtain from the Bible. And I think that that has always been the difficulty sometimes of walking the walk, is taking that knowledge and applying it to your everyday life. And that's some of the things with metaphysics, is that it helps you take the knowledge that you're gathering and apply it to your everyday life.
One thing I just realized, and a lot of people are brainwashed. Sometimes we think the only time we can understand God is when we show up, because, you know, the preachers threaten us sometimes. They hide behind this scripture that how can they hear except he be sent, basically. But God said also to study to show thyself approval.
Right.
So you can rightfully divide the word of truth. You know, so we're not limited to just what. Sometimes we have to go and understand these metaphysical and spiritual principles up on our own.
Yes, yes.
We're not limited to what we hear in the pulpit. It's crazy.
We're not, which kind of takes me to another metaphysical principle, which is basically, I'm not even going, it's a spiritual principle. It's meditation. Because, you know,
that's
you
correct.
Can receive from God directly, and when I meditate, be it if I meditate on a certain scripture, I just focus on that scripture, the scripture becomes alive to me, and I
mm-hmm.
get so
That's
much
correct.
Knowledge when I just meditate on a scripture, or just meditate. Sometimes I just quiet myself. God, I need to hear from you, and I don't talk.
The Bible says, peace be still and know that I am God.
Right.
And if we're steady praying and we're talking, we don't shut up long enough to listen. That's one of the things that we have screwed up in the black church. It's pray, 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 but we never listen. And we always saying, well, God haven't answered my prayer. Well, he's not going to answer if every day you're praying about the same thing. You haven't sat still and you're steady holding. You let it out and you brought it back in. You send it into the universe and then you grab it back. So God can't speak to you because you're worrying. You're concerned, you're having faulty beliefs, and then your faith cannot work for you, because the truth of the matter is you're doubting God.
Oh, that's good.
You have,
and meditation
you have to
is just basically quiet and hearing, letting out. You know, prayer is a two-way conversation.
Just
I say that on the show.
One of the most important things when we're dealing with the conscious of man, the conscious itself rationalizes. It uses the five senses and tell you that you cannot have, you cannot receive. That's the beta consciousness. That's when the brain waves and frequencies functioning at their highest peak. However, the thing that is difficult for the Christians and the persons that practice metaphysics, we have to learn to assess the subconscious mind. That is the theta and the alpha brain waves. That's when you quiet your mind as a relaxation component, almost to a point of sleep, so you can listen to spirit. Spirit is speaking all the time, but we're not listening because we're so tense. We're depressed, mm-hmm. oppressed, distressed, everything that go wrong with those words. And sometimes we lack rest, so you can't hear spirit.
Mm. That is so good. And I just, that was profound what you said, because we're depressed, oppressed, and in the middle of all of those words, it's pressed. We're so pressed.
Yes. Just pressed.
Yes. Yeah, that's good. That was really good. Well, how do you feel, because I'm kind of throwing some other things in, how do you feel we can enlighten people about being comfortable with going beyond the status quo, the dogma of religion, to being a lot more spiritual?
The most important thing that I would say that is the difficult part is to know thyself. This
mm-hmm.
is the most important focus for metaphysical principles, to go beyond, to deal with what's considered the subjects of existence, causality, which means the relationship of cause and effect, the truth of why you're here, being, time, and your substance of existence. So the most important thing is to know yourself. I was telling one of my colleagues today that the truth of the matter is when God created us, he provided us with free will. The thing that gives you your ability to think is consciousness, to explore, to create, you know, to know thyself. And the other thing is, we're basically God in amnesia.
Right.
It's a whole
we have
deal
a caller,
to
so I'm going to see if they want to ask a question. Are you okay with that?
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. Hello, caller. Did you have a question for us?
Yes, and I'm not really. I just want to reiterate on what y'all are talking about. And this is Shelton Hawkins, brother. How are y'all doing?
We're doing
hello,
great.
Keith.
Hello. Hey, look, I was just calling about a situation we have, like, I guess a series we have in the church called when our bishop was elaborating on praise and worship, kind of about how you got to go through your praise, and the only way you can get to your worship and listen to God, you got to go through your worship, and that's your mental one-on-one, and that's your what you call it, your intimate phase with God. And it also, he also talks about, and he kind of, I'm sorry, y'all. I was listening to something else, but it was mostly demonstrating on how it's intimate when you go into your own worship and you get into your own spiritual and your own intimate phase with God. And sometimes he says you got to quiet yourself down, go in on it, just be quiet for a second and listen to God and see what he has for you. And that's what I mainly just listen to y'all, and y'all have a great conversation on metaphysical. And
well,
it truly is a
worship. The Bible says they that worship must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the first thing is spirit is the divine nature of God. And when you're dealing with the truth, is basically his book, his law, his order that he has set in component. But whenever you're dealing with worship, the Bible says to let everybody that have breath praise the Lord. So anybody could praise the Lord. Birds could praise the Lord. But you have to go beyond consciousness to worship him. So whenever you reach into the stage to where your soul crowd, it's not even you worshiping anymore. You have reached the realm beyond the self, the human ego, the human pride for self, and you have reached to the point to going straight towards the metaphysical realm beyond the earth plane, over and beyond. Worship is not a physical experience. It is spiritual.
It's spiritual.
Yes. It's not physical.
That is so true.
Exactly.
Caller, I didn't get your first name, but I just want to thank you for calling in. What's your first name, sir?
All right. It's Keith.
Keith, thank you so much for calling in, and I hope that you will continue to listen to the rest of the show.
And thank you all.
All right. Bye-bye. That was so good, and I'm just going to play off of that for a little bit with worship and how worship can take us into that place of quietness and going beyond the physical. And I'm just going to, because sometimes I feel like in church it's, and this is not beat up on the church, it really isn't. I've been in the church for a long time, but it is helping us and showing us that we need to grow up. And when it's showtime sometimes,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I, you know, to get to that, especially with you being a musician, how do you take that people to that place where they're in the throne room with God?
That's one I get all the time. One of the first things you have to, I always asked as a child, I was anointed as a child as a symbol through the anointing of oil. But the most important thing, I have learned to go beyond myself as far as the rhythm. There are times when I play. We don't even need to sing. There don't have to be anything. And the people could go into a worship. But what I have learned that most churches that I have been to, the truth of the matter is they're scared of the spiritual and the metaphysical realm. You know, they clap and applaud and hallelujah and thank you, Jesus, but they're actually scared of what happens when you go into worship, how God speaks when you go into worship, how people are healed and delivered when you go to worship, and what God things God reveals to you when you go into worship. So when you're dealing with worship, I'm this would actually be another topic because it kind of
gets us. You know what? We're going to go there, so you're going to have to come on the Sunday show so we can really go there with it. And I will give that to I do go to a church that sometimes, and I love my pastors and say shout out to them, that
they don't know what to do.
They
get scared.
Yes, they are not scared. There has been times in our church where the Spirit has come through worship, through prayer, where there was not really a word said. The church just got quiet because the Spirit of God was so intense. There couldn't be a word spoken, and everybody still received. And I think that's the place of going beyond religion.
Yes,
and
it
that
is
the beyond. That's the metaphysical. That's beyond
the physical. Yes.
The physical, right.
Yes, yes, yes. Even
and
the way your body.
That's a powerful place.
You can be sick, and if you go up into worship, sickness will leave your body. It might return, but while you're in worship, it can't be there.
Because you're in
headaches, toothaches, pain leaves.
Right. You're so so real. And I think that that was what I was trying to get for people to see, that it's just the beyond. It's going beyond the day-to-day of what we do. Even in the church, we have our, you know, two songs in a program and the pastor preaches. But even I want to push us in the church to let God, to really let God. And like I said, it's not a beat up on the church. Do you have any more words of wisdom that you want to share with us? Because you have just been powerfully pulling it out, anointed as you are.
Well, like one of my things, you know, that I stated earlier, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Just remember that we are the oneness of God. And Jeremiah 33, you know, he already knew us before we was formed. So before we were in the physical, we were already in the spiritual. We were already in the thoughts of God, the mindset, this higher power, this higher consciousness, this higher realm of creativity. And notice I'm not saying God, or I'm limited him to the earth plane, or saying Jesus, or I'm limited him, because he's beyond the earth plane.
Mm-hmm.
But my words of wisdom, know thyself.
Mm.
Know thyself. The Father is not separated from you. That was the purpose of Jesus Christ, Christianity, to restore you strictly back to the oneness and to the Father. And let me find my scripture that I wrote down. I've already stated, but I want to say it straight. Call unto me, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So whenever you're ready to understand God, although he gives us everything in parts, he does not give us everything in totality. I have a problem. Even if you have the highest degree, I don't care how long you spent with God, you don't know everything about him, because the Bible tells us that he only gives us things in parts. So the more you attune yourself with him, or the more you worship, the more you meditate, whatever you do to attune yourself to this higher power, that's how he communicates with you. And that's how you learn yourself. You learn who you are, where you're going, why are you here. You're a spiritual being having a physical experience, but you're spiritual.
So true, and it brings us, like, I didn't want this to be, and it hasn't been, not beating up on the church, but saying, you know, this is, when you go into the deeper things of God, it's beyond church. And basically, we are that temple. We are the church, and you have church right there, wherever you are. So it's beyond, I heard somebody say church is an organism, it's not a building. So
that's correct.
It is within us. So just breaking out, it's about breaking out the walls, and not even the physical, but the mental walls of the standard things that we're doing and going. I guess it's going beyond what even the day-to-day and what we've been taught and how we've been taught, and it's breaking beyond that. Because God is doing a new thing, as we say at the church, and he really is.
Oh, yeah. That's what Isaiah says. Behold, I will do a new thing. Shall you
yes,
not know it? And some of us, we don't know it because we want to go back to the old landmark and the old time religion. And God is doing a new thing. And we're so silly and stuck on traditions and stuck on what we learned in school and in theological, you know, studies and stuff. We're really not listening to God. We're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why a lot of the churches are falling. A lot of preachers are being exposed. I didn't mean to go here, but the truth of the matter must be, because we'll basically
put ourselves higher than God. Let's go there. We can go there. Because it is.
Because we put ourselves higher than God, and right now God hasn't been getting the glory, because it's all about finances. We're forgetting about living for him, or knowing and relationship with God. It's all about sow your tithe so you can get your house, sow your tithe so you can get your car, give me, bring, get, receive, see, lift up your hands. First of all, flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God, so what you lifting your hands up, grabbing, reach up and grabbing, you ain't grabbing nothing.
And we do have to, and it's a time where I think a lot of people are even scared to say anything about some leaders that have fallen. And I do pray for leaders that have fallen. I'm not going to knock them or name any names.
I'm not going to knock them, but that just let me know that a change is getting ready to take place. There's a paradigm shift taking
place
quickly.
That was what I was going to say. There is a shift taking place. It's not about the leaders that have fallen, but can you see that it's more than one? So something has happened. There's a shifting going on in the body of Christ.
It's a shifting, and people don't even realize it.
Right. And it's not about knocking. It's not even about knocking a church. It's about, hey, wake up. There's a shift occurring. Do get on board.
That's
so I want to tell you how much I have enjoyed your coming and how enlightening you were on Monday's life class. Now, on Sunday, you got to come, and we got to talk on Sunday. Do a metaphysics
not a
part
problem.
Two. And I'm looking forward to it. So when you have a time, we're going to have to get together to do this again, because I think my Sunday is my Christian-based audience, and I think we need to hear, because we need to come up higher, because God is doing a new thing, and it's for people to sound the alarm. And I feel like that's what God put me on the earth to say. You know, it's about holding all of us accountable to be who we are called to be. But we do need to sound the alarm, and I can tell that you got that trumpet, too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
also, I would like to, for the audience and persons that's listening, I could be reached at my website that has just went up, Beautiful Design, at transformationliving.com, not transformational, A-L, no, transformation, living, not with an S at the end, .com, Transformation Living. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. It was designed by my friend Natasha Heath, who's an excellent web designer, and you can get a lot of information about me and my study, my background, et cetera, and you can find me there.
Well, I heard you say that you do some life coaching, and some people may not
That's
really
correct.
Know a lot about that. So just kind of give us a blurb on what that is and how you do that and how that's unique to what you offer to the people.
Life coaching, although I am trained as a psychotherapist, I went to Liberty University for counseling. However, I do use traditional psychotherapy, but I use life coaching in a sense of holistic life coaching. I don't just focus on the physical. I deal with the mind, the body, and the spirit, because you can't leave one and not have the other one. So I deal with all components, and I deal with I help persons get over depression, medication management, people that's with mental illnesses, people that's struggling with their sexuality, people who think that because they are one way, they're going to go to hell, they're having experience, and people who are suicidal. I deal with everything. Even if a person just needs somebody to talk to and just listen, I listen. You know, but one of the things is I allow the person to come up with their own treatment plan. I will point them into the right direction. But the truth of the matter is everybody and every person on earth already know the answer that they seek, because we are what we seek.
We are, and the answer is in us. And as you can see, listening audience, you'll get so much benefit from having a session with Shantrum. So if you need somebody to talk to professionally, and a lot of times we don't reach out to people, and sometimes our families and friends cannot really lead us in the direction that we need to go, and you need a professional, I would really encourage you to go to Shantrum's website and seek out some professional assistance. Well, thank you so much, Shantrum. I have just enjoyed it. We do have to do this again. On Sundays with our regular audience.
Most certainly.
It has truly been a life class, and I want to thank you. Please, please, anytime. Well, this is the end of life class. This is Linda. This is Soul in the City, where we aspire to go higher and higher in the spirit. And I just want to say again, thank you, Shantrum, and to the UOS and UOM students. Come back again for the next Monday's life class. Thanks a lot,
Shantrum. Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.